Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Monday, the 13th of March, 2023. Glad to have you along on this first day of the week. Back to school, back to work. A little snow here, at least at the World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, on University Avenue. A little snow overnight, but not a whole lot sticking. I would say maybe in Madison now, total, we have, I don't know, maybe in the high end, 4, maybe 5 inches of snow on the ground in some places. But otherwise, you know, nothing major, nothing huge. Unlike our friends and neighbors up in central and northern Wisconsin, who talked to my dad over the weekend. In Shawano, beautiful Shawano, Wisconsin, just west of Green Bay, they have now well over 30 inches, somewhere between maybe 35, 36 inches on the ground in Shawano. And still more coming down as of last night. So, yeah, if you're in the Richland Center area, probably a little bit more as far as from Madison. So if you have 7, 8 inches on the ground, be thankful that it's not 30 plus up in central and northern Wisconsin. Wherever you are, just be careful this morning. If you're on the roadways, some of them are a little slickery, but all in all, not too bad. Weather forecast for you for this morning. And remember, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will check in with Kara Foster, and she will have your complete weather forecast details. But the forecast for this morning in the Richland Center, WRCE area, a chance for flurries and a high of 30 degrees for today in RCE, southwest Wisconsin. For tonight, it's going to be gradual clearing and a low of 9 degrees. And then for Tuesday, sunny and a high of 35. Looking up to WXCO Bull Falls Radio this morning. A chance for flurries, maybe a little bit of fog here and there, but a chance for flurries, a high of 28 in Wausau. For tonight, a chance for flurries and a low of 0. And for Tuesday, tomorrow, going to be sunny skies and a high of 31 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy in Amory, Wisconsin, WLAK Lake Air Radio. Mostly cloudy, high of 27. Then for tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 3. And tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny skies and a high of 30 up in WLAK. So after this morning, not too bad at all. It's going to be fairly nice in the weather department. Typical for middle March, a little wintry forecast. Spring a couple of weeks off yet, but we all know in Wisconsin, we could have a spring snow as well. Big day yesterday in terms of happenings and goings-on. You had the Sunday selection show. If you're an NCAA basketball fan, Marquette Golden Eagles. I want to call them the other name, but Golden Eagles and Marquette got a number 2 seed in the tournament overall. Congratulations to Marquette and head coach Shaka Smart, doing a great job. Earning number 2 seed, and so they will be in the NCAA tournament and be playing. And then, of course, Wisconsin Badgers, not so fortunate. A lot of people thought maybe they would get a play-in seed later on in the tournament, but they could not capture that as Wisconsin missed out on the big dance. They did, however, get a number 3 seed in the NIT, at the National Invitational Tournament, and so they will play, I believe, on Thursday here at the Kohl Center. We'll get to you the exact times here in a bit, but Wisconsin Badgers in the NIT and will play at home in the first round. So if you live close to Madison, I guess on the upside, another chance to see the Badgers, but not exactly where they wanted to land, but still gives them a chance to play in the postseason. Other big part of yesterday, of course, were the Oscars last night, the Academy Awards. For various reasons, it was a very busy night for Todd. Very, very untypically. Usually Sundays are a little bit calmer, but in good ways. Had a call working on a couple of things regarding the campus and in Michelin Center, and then my good friend Rob Wheat was in town from Monroe, And he and one of his the co-workers invited Todd to join them for a beverage, which I did. And we talked politics and sports and other things. So it was great to see them. And so I saw a little bit of the start of the Academy Awards. And then I saw the end of the Academy Awards. I saw Jamie Lee Curtis win for Best Supporting Actress. So congratulations to her. Very touching speech by Jamie Lee Curtis last night. And then, of course, the movie she was in, Everything Everywhere All at Once, the big winner. Huge winner last night, and that was your picture of the year, Everything Everywhere All at Once. So congratulations to all those folks as well. I was kind of thinking that Top Gun might pull out. It's the Dark Horse movie of the year. Went down and saw my friends Kurt and Florcy in Monroe over the weekend, and we watched, Kurt and I had seen it, but Florcy had not, so we rewatched the movie, and it was as fantastic as we remembered it.
I'm kind of glad that Everything Everywhere All at Once won, because it's something different.
Well, Mr. Zobbers, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning. I'm good. How about
fantastic.
Yourself?
Fantastic. I'm doing great. Thank you. It was a great weekend. Good. You're happy that Everything Everywhere All at Once won.
Yeah, I think so. And Jamie Lee Curtis in particular had an amazing role.
Yes, she did. She did. Did a wonderful job in that movie. And so congratulations to her. So coming up later on this hour, we are going to be talking that. We'll talk a little bit of NCAA and movie results as well. And we'll also be talking about this bank failure out in California. A lot of people talking about that this weekend. In fact, President Biden giving remarks this morning. We will try to bring you those remarks from the president, or at least the recorded remarks from the president this morning as he is talking about that. About this bank failure, the Silicon Valley Bank out in California. And very scary for a lot of people that have money in the bank out there. And some question whether or not the people have put millions of dollars in this bank were going to lose it, or whether they were going to end up getting their money back. It appears the government now is going to at least cover those depositors. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. But stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show, taking your calls as well on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It's now 15 past the hour of 8 o'clock. Looking up here almost at 7 o'clock because we at Civic Media have not turned our clocks ahead. We have not sprung ahead. We are still in standard time. But by now, of course, everybody should have their clock turned ahead. That's the other big thing over the weekend. It is my least favorite night of the year when we spring forward. We turn our clocks ahead for daylight saving time. And all in all, you know, not too bad this year, but yeah, looking around the station, our clocks are still off.
Yeah, most dangerous normal Monday of the year.
And they'll probably stay this way until we move to the new place.
So, I will make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, we'll just stay an hour behind until this summer sometime.
No, I'm going to do it today.
Okay.
I'm going to do it today.
We'll see. We'll see. Fantastic. That's wonderful. So, yeah, it is 8:15 here on a Monday morning. Taking your calls this morning on this SVB. It sounds like a commercial for a vaccine or a pill. If you have SVB, but it's not Silicon Valley Bank is what it stands for. If you'd like to call in and talk about this banking issue or anything else for the weekend, Oscars, Badgers, Marquette Golden Eagles, or anything else on your mind, give us a call. 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Happy to take your calls this morning. Also got an update here, an actual time for the Wisconsin Badger game is they actually play tomorrow already, Tuesday. Badgers take on Bradley at the Kohl Center at 8:30, number 3 seed in the NIT. So congrats to the Badgers. Of course, Marquette is in the big dance, the NCAA tournament, as a number 2 seed. So the question this morning, how does a bank collapse in 48 hours, and should we in Wisconsin be worried about it at all, if any? And so there's a great explainer today on CNN online, and I'm going to go through this a little bit. And then I reached out to a friend of mine. I don't have permission to use his name, but someone who's really, really smart, who's actually a banker and investor here in the state of Wisconsin, and talked to a couple other people as well. So bring you a Wisconsin perspective on this as well. So this last week, the go-to bank for U.S. tech startups, they came rapidly unglued. So this is a bank that a lot of tech startups have used. Put a lot of money in there. If you're out in Silicon Valley, of course, the big tech area out in California. Silicon Valley Bank, that's what SVB stands for. They're facing a sudden bank run and a capital crisis, and it basically collapsed on Friday morning and was taken over by federal regulators. Now, you may have seen this like on It's a Wonderful Life, when banks would collapse and on the verge or around the time of the Depression, and people, they have a run on the bank where everybody go in and try to get their money taken out. And this, what happened on Friday was the largest failure of a U.S. bank since Washington Mutual back in 2008. Remember that? Back in 2008? Started the big collapse of some of these financial institutions. So here's what we know about the bank's downfall and what might come next. First of all, what is SVB? It was founded in 1983. SVB specialized in banking for tech startups. It provided financing for almost half the U.S. venture-backed technology and healthcare companies. Think about that. Half of the U.S. venture-backed technology. So again, these were tech companies, speculative. It's not like not Fortune 500 companies have been around for 100 years, all right? While relatively unknown outside of Silicon Valley, SVB was among the top 20 American commercial banks with $209 billion in total assets at the end of last year, according to the FDIC. So the next question is, say, well, Todd, why did it fail? In short, SVB encountered a classic run on the bank. The longer version, a bit more complicated. Several forces collided to take down the banker. First, there was the Federal Reserve, which began raising interest rates a year ago to tame inflation. The Fed moved aggressively, and higher borrowing costs sapped the momentum of tech stocks that had benefited SVB. So what does that really mean? All right. So the Federal Reserve, of course, has been raising interest rates here the last few months because they're trying to actually slow down the economy because people are buying things too much, which is helping cause inflation. I know there are economists out there that are saying, Todd, that's way too simplistic. I get it. But at the 30,000-foot level, that's essentially what's happening. Economists, the government, the U.S. government wants to slow down the economy to slow down inflation, bring inflation down. So these higher interest rates have also eroded the value of long-term bonds that SVB and other banks gobbled up during the end of the ultra-low, near-zero interest rates. Remember that? Remember where you could buy a car, take out money for 0.3%, 0.7%, not even 1% interest? SVB, $21 billion bond portfolio was yielding an average of 1.79%. The current 10-year Treasury yield is about 3.9%. So banks buy up these bonds, about $21 billion. They were getting a 1.79% back right now, up to 3.9%. At the same time, venture capital, that's money that people say, you know, I've got, you know, X hundred thousand or X millions of dollars or X tens of millions of dollars that I could live without. I've been very successful, so I'm going to basically essentially gamble this money by putting it into a company that's a startup. That's an idea. All right? So at the same time, this venture capital started drying up. People said, well, either I've lost a bunch of money or I just don't want to put it in there anymore. And it forced startups to draw down funds held by SVB. So the bank was sitting on a mountain of unrealized losses in bonds just as the pace of the customer withdrawals was escalating. So basically, again, in Todd terms, layman's terms, the bank's surplus or reserve started to dry up just about the time people got skittish and said, I want to take my money out. All right, so on Wednesday, SVB announced it had sold a bunch of securities at a loss and that it would also sell $2.25 billion in new shares to shore up its balance sheet. And that triggered a panic among key venture capital firms who reportedly advised companies to withdraw their money from the bank. So a lot of this is just rumor mill stuff, right? Well, I heard, you know, that this bank is not very good. If you got money in there, get it out. So this started this run. The bank stock began pummeling on Thursday, going down on Thursday morning. And by the afternoon, it was dragging other bank shares down with its investors began to fear another 07-08 financial crisis. By Friday morning, trading in SVB shares was halted, and it had abandoned efforts to quickly raise capital or find a buyer. California regulators intervened, shutting the bank down and placing it in the receivership under the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC. So contagion fears started to subside. What does that mean? Despite initial panic on Wall Street, analysts said SVB's collapse is unlikely to set off the kind of domino effect that gripped the banking industry during the financial crisis. Again, let me say that again. Wall Street saying the SVB's collapse is unlikely to set off the kind of domino effect that we had back in 07-08. Here's a quote from Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi. He said the system is well capitalized and liquid as never and liquid as it try that again, Todd. The system is as well capitalized and liquid as it has ever been. The banks that are now in trouble are much too small to be a meaningful threat to the broader system, unquote. No later than this morning, all insured depositors will have full access to their insured deposits, according to the FDIC. It will pay uninsured depositors an advanced dividend within the week, he said. Remember, FDIC insures your deposits up to $250,000. All right? So in talking to people who know a lot more about finances than I do, the key thing here is, for most of us, certainly me, keep your deposits in a particular bank to under $250,000. If you have more than that, God bless you. Put $250,000 or $249,000 in one bank and put another $100,000 in another bank. Because the FDIC, the government, will cover your losses, guarantee them up to $250,000 in any FDIC-insured bank. So what's next? While broader contagion, is unlikely, meaning it's not going to spreading of this and happening to other banks is unlikely, smaller banks that are disproportionately tied to cash-strapped industries like tech and crypto may be in for a rough ride, according to Ed Moya, senior analyst at Oanda. Oanda's a financial advisor firm. Again, this crypto stuff and tech stuff, the bottom line is there, if you can't afford to lose the money that you're putting in there, don't put it in. And I think that's good advice for any type of investment.
Yep, absolutely.
But if you think, oh geez, you know, my friend made all this money in crypto or in tech, you know, and I'm gonna take my money that I would normally have for my mortgage payment and get rich fast on these kind of startup things, do not do it. Because we could end up with stuff like this. Here's another quote from Moya. He said, everyone on Wall Street knew that the Fed's rate hiking campaign would eventually break something, and right now, that is taking down small banks. The FDIC typically sells a failed bank's assets to other banks using the proceeds to repay depositors whose funds were not insured. A buyer could still emerge for SVB, though it's far from guaranteed. The bottom line here again is, Hold your deposits to particular banks at $250,000. The government's going to they'll cover that up to $250,000 per person. So that's the big thing to listen to pay attention to and to remember. I mean, this is certainly an important thing, don't want to downplay it. We're going to come back and hear, we're going to have some of the comments this morning from President Biden on the situation. But the big thing is just keep your deposits to $250,000 or less. You'll be okay. And again, it does not appear this is going to be a big bank run or be indicative of, we're not going to see failing banks across the country. This is one particular bank that overextended itself in investing in an industry like tech that's risky. I mean, anything is risky, right? But tech particularly so. Important to remember, the world's not coming to an end. We'll hear from President Biden when we come back. Stay with us. Take your calls as well. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you invest your tuppence wisely in the bank, safe and sound, soon that tuppence safely invested.
Welcome
in
back
the bank
to the Todd Allball Show. It is 8:33, and I can thank Mr. Zommers for looking up and he changed the clock during the break. So thank you, Mr. Zommers is tall, so I appreciate that. We can now look and see what time it is. 8:33, which also means it's time to check back with our friend Kara Foster from Weatherology. And Kara, welcome back to the program for another fine week. I was talking to my dad up in Shawano. They have like between around 35 inches of snow total now on the ground. It just keeps coming over there, just west of Green Bay over the weekend. It wouldn't stop.
It's literally, yeah, it was like nonstop. It was like once it started, it just kind of parked and it never left.
Yeah, they've been shoveling and snowblowing. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Saw some interesting snowfall for sure. It was very windy too. And I mean, thankfully where I'm at, I didn't get too much snow, but there was a lot of places that got at least a foot. I do see in just northern Minnesota or northern Wisconsin, I should say, there's a little red dot on my screen that says 18.5. I can't zoom in quite enough. Washburn.
Washburn.
Oh, Washburn. Right. Yeah. But it's, there are certain pockets that were definitely heavier. Some areas got much lighter snow compared to their neighbors, like not too many miles away. So it was very, very weird system for sure. But
yeah, kind of a hit and miss type
of
thing.
I'm hoping this week is better. Right. Good. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's like a tornado, you know, where they like, it seems like it jumps over certain things. That's where it kind of seems like, yeah.
Well, it looks like today, fill us in, but it looks like for Avery, Wausau, Richland Center, it looks like things are going to be slightly calmer over the next 24 to 48 hours. Is that a fair, accurate estimate?
Definitely, definitely accurate for sure. I mean, we are looking at sunshine basically throughout the entirety of the region. There are certain areas that will still see some kind of lingering flurries, of course, as you head out further east. But I mean, throughout the western and northern, west northern, and I guess west central or southwestern portions of the state will see more sunshine than the eastern portions. We are going to stay sunny, 28 in Amory. We are going to see those flurries kind of continue throughout Wausau, but we're reaching a high of 28, so we are still cooler, and then some flurries throughout Richland Center as well, but they're still at about 31. Normally throughout this time of year, we're sitting in the upper 30s, lower 40s, so we're going to be a little bit below normal throughout today and tomorrow. Partly cloudy overnight, very chilly. We're dropping down to 3 in Amory. We're back down to 0 in Wausau, and then we're at 9 in Richland Center. As we head into Tuesday, sunshine is pretty much throughout the state, and actually will be in the lower to mid 30s pretty consistently throughout the state. It's not really going to be a large gradient of temperatures. We'll dip down to the 20s, stay pretty calm for the most part, and then winds will actually come throughout Tuesday evening very, very late. South winds 10 to 15, gusting as high as 30, which does mean that Wednesday is actually going to be pretty decent. We will stay cloudy throughout much of the state. Some areas might see some kind of pockets of sunshine. We're going to be sitting in the lower 40s. It's going to be pretty consistent throughout the north and the southern portions. As we head into Wednesday night, we actually have a chance for some rain, and it will stay rain. It should stay rain for the entirety of the night. We shouldn't see any snow there. We're dipping down to only the mid to upper 30s. So we're going to stay very mild. Now, Thursday comes along. We're actually going to still be in the 40s. Rain showers are going to be pretty consistent throughout the day. So a lot of the snowfall that just fell, we're probably going to get some good melting, a good washing out for sure. Unfortunately,
right.
It doesn't last for long, as it always does. It is March, so, you know, we're going to have some days that are warmer and are going to wash us out, help us melt a lot. And then some days that are just going to completely erase what the day before did. Thursday night, temperatures will start to shift. North winds will kind of gust as high as 35, causing temperatures to drop to the lower 20s. We'll see some of the rain kind of transfer into that rain and snow mixture. We will see some accumulation. And as of right now, it does seem that the northern portion of the state will see the most of that accumulation. As you head through the central and the southern portion of the state probably won't see any. It's probably going to stay mainly rain for a good part of it. Could see maybe some slush, but really not much accumulation. But as I said, northern portions are definitely going to have to keep an eye out on this storm. Friday comes along. It will be mostly all snow by then. Southern portion will probably see still more of that mixture, but little to no accumulation. Highs will be in the upper 20s now, so we're going to drop probably a full like 10 to 15 degrees within 24 hours. And then we're back sitting in the 20s over the weekend, unfortunately, on Saturday. Could see some flurries here and there throughout central and northern portions. Southern portion will mainly be in the clear, but could see some stuff, probably more of the warmer rain showers. And then Sunday, we're just seeing sunshine and back in the 30s. So we'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully next week is a little bit more consistent in temperatures. But, yeah, we're kind of all over the place this week. Meteorologist Kara Foster.
All right, Kara. Well, as we say, we are in Wisconsin, and it is March. It's that transition month, so just one of those things.
Right, exactly.
All right, thanks. Have a great day, Kara.
Thanks, you too.
Yeah, bye-bye. We will talk to Kara tomorrow again, and we thank her for her time this morning. There is your weather forecast, outlook on your day. So, you know, it is March. It's the middle of March. It's the 13th, so sometimes it's snowy, sometimes it's warm, just a transition month each and every year. And, of course, it's basketball season, so tournament season. Always gets some big snows around then as well. Talking about this big news story this morning, the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank out in California, and reports that a second bank is going to close as well. And kind of how does this affect us? How does this affect the real person out there? Because, you know, most of us, I'm probably talking to you, are not looking at putting in $500,000 into a bank anytime soon. There are certainly some, but not all of us. And again, the key thing to remember here is that most banks are very stable right now. And the key is for average folks like you and I, keep your investments to a particular bank at $250,000 or less, because you're insured per person, per bank. So if you have a significant other, you could each put $250,000 in the bank if you had that much money, and you're going to be insured for that. Or move money to a different bank. Each bank that you have $250,000 in that is FDIC insured, you're covered in case something like this happens. Now, the investors in the bank, in this case, the Silicon Valley Bank, if you're an investor in the bank, that's a whole other story, right? You're investing in like any other thing, in the stock market or anything else. President Joe Biden gave remarks this morning a while ago to touch on this because the stock market is opening down across the globe this morning on news of this. And so President Biden came forward and offered some remarks this morning. We are going to bring you those now. Right now it is 8:40. Here is what President Joe Biden had to say this morning on the SVB bank failure.
Before I leave for California, I want to briefly speak about what's happening in Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Today, thanks to the quick action of my administration over the past few days, Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe. Your deposits will be there when you need them. Small businesses across the country that deposit accounts at these banks can breathe easier knowing they'll be able to pay their workers and pay their bills. And their hardworking employees can breathe easier as well. Last week, when we learned of the problems of the banks and the impact they could have on jobs, some small businesses, and banking system overall, I instructed my team to act quickly to protect these interests. They've done that. On Friday, the government regulator in charge, the FDIC, took control of Silicon Valley Bank's assets. And over the weekend, it took control of Signature Bank's assets. Treasury Secretary Yellen and a team of banking regulators have taken action, immediate action. And here are the highlights. First, all customers who had deposits in these banks can rest assured. I want to rest assured they'll be protected and they'll have access to their money as of today. That includes small businesses across the country that bank there and need to make payroll, pay their bills, and stay open for business. No losses will be, and I want, this is an important point, no losses will be borne by the taxpayers. Let me repeat that. No losses will be borne by the taxpayers. Instead, the money will come from the fees that banks pay into the deposit insurance fund. Because of the actions of that, because of the actions that our regulators have already taken, every American should feel confident that their deposits will be there if and when they need them. Second, the management of these banks will be fired. If the bank is taken over by FDIC, the people running the bank should not work there anymore. Third, investors in the banks will not be protected. They knowingly took a risk, and when the risk didn't pay off, investors lose their money. That's how capitalism works. And fourth, there are important questions of how these banks got into the circumstance in the first place. We must get the full accounting of what happened and why those responsible can be held accountable. In my administration, no one is above the law. And finally, we must reduce the risk of this happening again. During the Obama-Biden administration, we put in place tough requirements on banks like Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, including the Dodd-Frank law to make sure that the crisis we saw in 2008 would not happen again. Unfortunately, the last administration rolled back some of these requirements. I'm going to ask Congress and the banking regulators to strengthen the rules for banks to make it less likely this kind of bank failure would happen again, and to protect American jobs and small businesses. Look, the bottom line is this. Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe. Your deposits are safe. Let me also assure you, we will not stop at this. We'll do whatever is needed. On top of all that, let's also take a look at a moment to put the situation in a broader context. We've made strong economic progress in the past 2 years. We've created more than 12 million new jobs. More jobs in 2 years than any president has ever created in a single four-year term. Unemployment is below 4% for 14 straight months. Take-home pay for workers is going up, especially for lower and middle-income workers. And we've seen record numbers of people apply to start new businesses, more than 10 million of them. More than 10 million applications over the last 2 years starting businesses. Now we need to keep the program, this progress, going. That's what swift action that my administration over the past few years is all about. Protecting depositors, protecting the banking system, protecting the economic gains we've made together for the American people. Thank you. God bless you. And may God protect our troops. See you in California.
Mr. President, what do you know right now about why this happened?
Those are the words of President Joe Biden this morning, just a little while ago, as he made remarks from the podium at the White House before he left on a trip to California this morning. And again, the important thing to remember, we talked about this, the failure of the SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, on Friday, and the Signature Bank over the weekend, apparently, smaller bank to a degree. This is not, the important thing here is, this is not your neighborhood bank. This is not, this is not going to visit you in your community anytime soon by everything we know today.
I do also appreciate that he said that investors and the bank management are not getting their, I'm sure they still have their own golden parachute, but they're not getting a second one from the government.
No, absolutely. And that's an important point, yes, to remember that the government's not going to bail out these super wealthy people that put money into the bank or the CEOs or that sort of thing. So the important thing to for you and I to remember is that our banking system here in Wisconsin is still sound for all intent and purposes. Limit your deposits to $250,000 or less per person per bank so that, God forbid, if something like this would happen in Wisconsin, which there is no indication that there will, again, no indication that this type of thing is going to be widespread or happen here in Wisconsin, but keep your investments at $250,000 or less per bank. By investments, I mean whether you have a CD or whether you have a savings account, whatever it is, keep it to $250,000 or less. But here, President Biden saying that those FDIC, so each bank, as I understand it, pays, you know, FDIC insurance, essentially. And so those fees that banks pay in are going to cover depositors in the case of these two banks in California. Again, not cover the CEOs and the investors, but cover the depositors. And those people have access to their money today. So if you did have money in that bank, if you're an average person and happen to have money in that bank out there, it looks like you will get your money back. But I think it's important just to take a calm look at this and what the facts are. Again, don't look to social media. Don't look to Facebook. Don't look to Twitter even. What the average person is saying, because they're all, you know, people get panicky.
Or the comments on that YouTube video of, yes. of Biden's remarks.
Yes, exactly. Look at what the president's saying. Talk to, here's an idea. Just talk to your local banker. That's what I did. Call up my local banker friend in Richland Center. That's all you need to do. It's going to be okay. Come back and take your calls on this if you'd like as well. 715-388-7155. Back after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The high financial strata that established credit now commands.
You got to know.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 8:50, 10 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. That is the immortal Kenny Rogers with the gambler. Financial issues this morning. Talking a little bit, sorting out what's fact, what's fiction. Give us a call. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Number to call in. What do you think about this financial bank failure out in California, Silicon Valley Bank? And also, do you have any apprehension about things here in Wisconsin? Again, hopefully this morning we've tried to lay it out to let you know by all practical accounts, by people who know a lot more about finances than I do. It appears right now there is no need to get nervous about your finances here in Wisconsin. Now that's why I sought out people over the weekend that know a heck of a lot more about this than I do, because I'll admit that finances are not necessarily one of my strong suits. You can ask my friends and family about that one. That's why I seek out people that know a lot more about it than I do. Because you hear this stuff, as Mr. Zomers and I said before the break there, you hear this stuff online and you read comments and everything, and believe me, Republicans are going to take this opportunity to hammer Joe Biden. Because what Biden's ready, what he's doing right now, he's getting on a plane, and yes, he'll do some business out in California this week. But he's also, by all accounts, going out to do some fundraising. As it's anticipated that very soon, President Biden will announce his re-election bid. So trying to gin up the finance machine before he technically announces. Every major candidate does this, because once you announce that you're a candidate for office, there's all kinds of things that come into play, election laws and finance reporting laws. And it's just a different ballgame when you're an announced candidate rather than an unannounced candidate. And that's why a lot of people were baffled at why Trump announced so soon. Of course, most people believe that a large reason why he announced so soon is he thought somehow this was going to help him avoid indictment if he was an announced candidate for president.
I'm sure that's true. And also, he has shown a clear disregard for rules regarding finances in the past anyway. So
Very true.
I think he just wants to move money around and make different numbers go up and down.
Very true. But most quote-unquote normal traditional candidates will hold off as long as they can to announce so they can raise money. So that's kind of what Biden is doing. Yes, he's going to go out and meet with California Governor Gavin Newsom on all this flooding and the weather and other things, and now probably the Silicon Valley Bank as well. But Biden's also going to go out and raise some money. Nothing wrong with that. But you watch today, And you watch coming up this week, Republicans are going to try to make hay even further with this collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank. They're going to say it's a canary in the coal mine. They're going to say that this is a harbinger of things to come. They're going to try to scare you. Make it sound like Biden's responsible for all this financial instability. And it's just not true. This is a bank, Silicon Valley Bank, who was speculative. Built their bank and their business around speculation. Not entirely, but largely. Tech startups, well, we hear about all the ones that really take off and do well, right? There are a lot of tech startups that go under. But I had a coffee business that didn't make it. And we are talking, you know, a couple of $100,000 in that business. These are businesses that go under. There are a couple of $100 million that go under. So just know that. This is not your average neighborhood bank. Go to the lines this morning. Tom out in Richland County. Tom, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, listen, I want to mention that totally unregulated laissez-faire capitalism, I like to think of as pirate ships trying to board each other and take all the good stuff and run away and leave the mess. But right. When you start regulating a little bit, you all of a sudden have a chance for some fairness and equal playing field. And if you know the 2008 catastrophe that took us a decade to get over, happened because they got rid of the separation between commercial banks that speculate on everything and regular hometown kind of savings banks.
Right.
And before that, there was a savings and loan disaster back another 20 years before that or so. And this is another example of regulations getting put in place, and then they get watered down, and people take advantage of it. And then all the new technology, that instant trading where the length of the cable that goes between your computer terminal and the stock exchange makes a difference in the nanoseconds, and just all this crazy stuff. So if you want to have it be fair, if you want all this investment stuff to be about growth, you can't have it also be about rampant speculation, because that's people betting things to go down at the same time you're trying to bet them to go up. Seems to be a real contradiction in this whole system.
I think that's a great point, Tom. And explain that a little bit if you want to, if you have time. I got a minute and a half here. People actually bet on things going poorly, right?
Well, for sure. I mean, my brother's a big CFO kind of guy, and he always talks about you got to have market makers, people that will buy the things that are dogs so that other people can win. But you can actually bet that things are going to go down and make money. And a few times I've dabbled where I had some extra money that came from inheritance or something like that, stuff where I lost it all. Because these guys are pros at it. Just incredible. But it's not about investing. It's like it's a gambling game or a Ponzi scheme. Our man Johnson always talks about a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
The stock exchange is the biggest Ponzi scheme there was. You got to suck all these people. The 401k is based on people don't know what they're doing, putting their money in there instead of into a union pension plan.
Right. That's an important point. And you said it earlier, community banks, right? I mean, put your money in banks that are run by your friends and neighbors.
Absolutely. And then they're investing in local businesses that's making jobs and all that, too. So
yep.
This whole thing is based on getting rid of regulations, and that's the mantra that Republicans are going to talk about. Well, they're the ones that made the regulations go away that made this happen. So
yep.
Let's get smart about it.
Really good.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks. Great points, Tom. Appreciate you as always. Have a great day. Tom from Richland County, we appreciate him calling in. You can call and join us as well if you want to give us a ring. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Tom makes an excellent point. When we put our money in a community bank, in a bank that's based in our community or in our state, where are those banks going to put that money that we invest? They're going to loan it out to other friends and neighbors to build a home or to start a small business or invest in the community. Community banks are where it's at. I mean, you can put your money into national and international banks, but if you really want to do some good, think about putting it in a local community bank. We have them everywhere across the state of Wisconsin. Doing great business, and that's where your money is the safest. Keep your deposits under $250,000 per person, per bank, and we're going to be okay. Coming up next hour, we'll talk about more issues, take more of your calls. Don't want to miss it. We appreciate you being here on a Monday. It is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Table, there'll be time.